Are you ready to break the silence and embrace the transformative journey of perimenopause? Well, you're in the right place. We are Natalie and Lisa, your hosts, and this is the podcast that's rewriting the script on perimenopause.
Join us in embracing the strength within, awakening dormant power, and closing the knowledge gap. We're here to inspire great health and ensure every woman is seen and heard.
Get ready for expert insights, relatable stories, and a community that gets it. Unleash your perimenopause power. It's time to own your story.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Perimenopause Power. Today, we have a grassroots episode. And for those of you who may be new to the podcast, these are episodes that we do from time to time with people that we know, that we might be close to, that we meet through different social media avenues, and today is one of those. We've got Tina Luke on the episode with us today, and Tina and I connected through LinkedIn. We were just chatting before we pressed the record button. I think it must be at least 12 months ago, possibly even longer than that. And if my memory serves me right, I think I might have responded or commented on a post, and Tina chimed in as well and basically had shared how she went through early menopause, and she was absolutely okay to talk about perimenopause and menopause, and that's what we want happening in this world. So welcome, Tina, to the podcast. It's just a delight to have connected with you, and finally our worlds have aligned and here you are today with us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the time and the opportunity to have this conversation, because I feel like it's one that is not happening enough. And yeah, I joke that part of my job is to cyberstalk people on LinkedIn, which is why I'm often floating around in the background there. I'm a producer. So I think I saw your post come along and I was like, somebody's talking about things and they're not being scared to. And that really excited me, because I ended up having a radical hysterectomy in my early 30s due to cervical womb and ovarian cancer. And so it was kind of something that happened quite quickly. I live in Christchurch, New Zealand, and unfortunately my diagnosis happened a little bit before the Christchurch earthquakes. So I actually had my operation in between the two major earthquakes. And I remember at the time saying to my surgeon, what are you going to do if there's a massive aftershock while I'm on the operating table? And him looking at me in the eye and saying, we just operate slower. So I kind of already was having that kind of double trauma moment of going through a massive life change a lot earlier than I thought I would be, also in the middle of like an event that destroyed my city. So for me, I think it was a really emotional time, and I had to face parts within myself. I remember having this like really strange experience when I was waking up from the anesthetic, where I was really emotional and teary, and I could feel this part of me almost looking and talking to someone who wasn't quite there saying, I don't want to go back. And so the first thing I had to do when I woke up was face everything that was going on in my life that had meant that I didn't want to come back. And that was my starting point. And a lot of that was around the, what did it mean that I was letting go of that part of my womanhood? And if I no longer had my reproductive system, could no longer have any more children, you know, what did that mean? And then also just getting over the surgery itself. So I guess that was my first major issue. I then also, unfortunately, doctors were so stretched during that time that I didn't get the proper care that I should have, and I wasn't told about certain supplements and things like that that I should be taking right from then. So now that I'm just about 50, I have some issues because I wasn't told to take certain vitamins and supplements right from day dot. So that's why I like to get the conversation started early, and I love to have this conversation with people so that they don't end up in the situation that I am now. I think one of the other fascinating things that I've found, because my journey's been different, and that immediately I didn't have hormones anymore, but every couple of years I still go through a phase of hot flushes, really burning up. And when I've spoken to endocrinologists about it, they said that actually there's other parts of your body and your gut that attempt to make the hormones when your ovaries no longer can. So your body is phenomenal. But that is slowly declining. Hence, every few years I go through the hot flushes again and all of those other kind of symptoms. So that is weird for my friends to understand, because they just think that, wouldn't you have just gone into menopause cold turkey? they can't understand the kind of the pathway that is still happening. I'm lucky enough too that I have a lovely friend who runs an organisation called Luna House here, and she took me through a little bit of an honouring kind of ceremony around moving into the crone element of my life a lot earlier than perhaps I had anticipated. So I did have a lot of wonderful women supporting me in different ways kind of through that journey too.
Firstly, what a phenomenal story, and particularly in the midst of the earthquakes and the experience that you are having in the world around you at the same time as you're having such an internal experience as well and going through so much change. I mean, I remember just watching the impact of the earthquakes from on the other side of the ditch, as we say, don't we? And, you know, that just so impactful. But yeah, what an amazing story. And how lovely that your friend gave you an honoring ceremony, because it's probably something that's not often factored in or considered, even for women who go through natural menopause, but especially for women who go through early menopause or surgically induced menopause as well. What a beautiful way to just see out that time of your life and that entering of that new phase.
It definitely was, and it kind of aligned with my daughter entering into that phase of her life. So I remember also kind of taking her out to a cafe and having a bit of a celebration, which in hindsight, in the moment, she was a little mortified about. But now, you know, if I talk to her as a 21-year-old, I think, you know, she thinks it's quite cool that she was honoured in that way, and we openly talked about it, and none of that kind of womanly experience has ever been kind of like shushed in our household.
Amazing. We love that, don't we, Lise?
We do. And I'm just thinking about, you probably weren't given much education or briefing, whatever you want to call it, as you went into this pretty full-on operation around what's, you know, what's going to happen on the other side and what to expect and the possible emotional and mental feelings that you can go through. And there's that spiritual alignment as well that gets out of whack. It's really sad, and it wasn't that long ago, really, let's face it, that you weren't given that information. And then, you know, there are obviously different medications and supplements and lifestyle elements that need to be considered once you've had the operation. So it's really sad that you didn't have that information. And, you know, I'm really glad that there's so much more discussion around it today, and you make that point beautifully around you know, the things that you can be doing, MHT, you know, menopause hormonal therapy is a lot more, it's spoken about a lot more in a positive way now these days, a lot of debunking around that as well. And just from what Nat said, I love that your friend took the opportunity to do that with you. So I'm assuming you didn't know much about menopause, obviously, then, Tina, before you went into it.
Because more just, I think, the shock of it happening. And I'd also like to just raise, because I'm still so grateful to this day, that I had just actually gone to have like a regular pap smear. And the nurse who took the pap smear on that day, she said, I don't know why, but my gut is telling me to give you a womb biopsy. And she did. Mm-hmm. And that picked up the cancer cells. And if she hadn't done that, it's such a silent cancer that it just... I wouldn't even know until it was too late. So I just am so glad that nurse had enough of herself to listen to her intuition and push forward to what I normally get a yes for.
Yeah, wow. And that wasn't something that was in your family either, Tina. It was just something out of the blue. Yeah, no. It just really highlights how we need to be really in tune with making sure we're doing the right checks and balances, doesn't it? And, you know, and hoping that we go along to people that are knowledgeable enough to make sure that, you know, that they're following their intuition, like you're talking about as well, because as women, we tend to do so much rush these days. And often you hear, you know, many stories where it's a little bit too late to be able to action, you know, getting back to a healthy predisposition again. How would you say menopause has affected your life since it's come on, Tina? Is there things you had to do differently? Are there some positives, negatives? You know, I'd love to know more around how what you experienced, you know, back then, and how that's led you to where you are today.
I guess I would say the body is declining quite mm-hmm. quickly. In the mirror and go, I feel like I aged 10 years overnight. And just kind of how my body often feels to be in it can be quite uncomfortable. And also with work, I can be in the middle of a really important meeting with really important people and the words just go out of my brain. So I've had to kind of find key strategies, and I'll often around my computer have key words or things like that that will hopefully lead me back to what I'm meant to be talking about if I lose my train of thought. But the balance to that is, I think, and you're probably not allowed to say inappropriate words, so you can just probably imagine what I'm going to say, but you no longer give a bleep. You, like, there's this part of my power that I've stepped into through this phase, which I used to be a very shy, very timid girl, same, you know, in the early stage of my marriage. And then what happened coming out the other side of this and a divorce, and I went, I need to reclaim who I am. I need to reclaim my voice. Who am I as a woman now? So I pushed myself out of my comfort zone in ways that I never would have before, because I no longer actually cared what other people thought. So there was this freedom that I had read about comes with other women going through menopausal changes later in life. It was almost like I got a little bit of that crone energy early to kind of shake things up, be a little bit cheeky and risque about things I'd say and cages that I'd rattle.
Did you find that surprising? That those things, like, you probably weren't doing that previous. And yeah. And I think that's been a real standout learning for me as well, because you sort of think, oh, I would never done that in the blue moon 5 years ago. And then you do it and you think, that's fine. You know, like, you just go with it. It's quite liberating, isn't it?
And I think there's a part of me that going through this phase, because due to trauma when I was younger, I was always really scared of dominant male energy. But I've healed that now, because it's like I'm strong enough in myself through this phase that I'm in now, where I can hold myself in uncomfortable conversations and difficult rooms in a way that I never could have before.
Yeah, that's great. There's some really great learnings there. I'm sorry, Nat, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say it's quite incredible, isn't it, that shift happened so profoundly for you, and you recognize that. Mm-hmm. And so many women that we've spoken to, and similar to the women who we've had on the podcast, share similar sentiments, just that feeling of not giving a ras-razoo. And I'm here as myself, and this is who I am, and I make no apology for that.
I think also something that I'm really proud about is that I give myself permission to fail now in a way that I never would have before. And so a couple of weeks ago, I had a really emotional week where I just absolutely crumbled. So I'm not saying that those moments don't happen, but what I've realized now is that I give myself permission to crumble, but I know now that every time I stand back up taller and stronger, and that's new.
Yeah, I love that. I think there'll be a lot of listeners listening in today just nodding their head and going, absolutely know exactly what you're talking about. And it's wonderful that we can actually take these learnings away, and you know, there's the power in it of learning from it and just accepting that who you are now, you know, we've got to see the positive side of things. I mean, there's a lot of negatives that we tend to focus on, but I feel like a lot of what you're sharing here are some really great positives for for me and for our listeners to walk away with and go, yeah, absolutely. You know, are there any other learnings? You know, you've shared a few. Are there any other learnings that that come to mind as well, Tina, around, you know, where, so we're talking, how long ago was your operation?
Gosh. So that was 2010. So 14 years ago.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You've had plenty of time to definitely have some learnings about it. Are there any other things you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, I guess in just a number of different ways, it's almost hard to granularly hone down on it because of the environment that I was living through with all those years of the earthquakes. My children were really young. Christchurch then had those children, as they went through their teenage years, there was a mass increase in youth's suicide ideation. So I had a lot of that going on around me. I took in a lot of children who were in that way. So it's almost difficult to par back. I guess, and kind of look back now, I would go right back to even when I started my period, because I got it really early at like 9, which is probably a bit more normal now, but it wasn't in that day. And it was always very, very painful. And then I think about 19, I went for my first scan where they found cysts on my ovaries, but they did nothing about it. It was just like, oh, you've got cysts on your ovaries. I think I was really lucky to be able to have both of my children naturally, because for about 15 to 20 years there, I would maybe have my period 3 to 4 times a year, but nobody kind of signaled to me at any point that that was a massive issue. And then when I got my period, I would have it sometimes for 2 months. So I would literally be like famine. And what that did on my body energetically was massive. And I had to live with that. So I guess one thing direct to me when I've been talking to other women who have endometriosis or PCOS like I've had and other kind of things going on, as I say to them, through that loss, there was also liberation, because I no longer had to go through the amount of pain and never knowing when my period was going to come, all of those sides of things. It was like a massive weight lifted off my shoulders. So I do feel freer in that kind of regard, even though like for a couple of years afterwards, I would have these phantom feelings, like things were going on in my body. And of course it wasn't, but I think there was a liberation in letting go how traumatic my monthly cycle was for me.
That's incredible. And we've had other people on the podcast as well talk about endometriosis and PMDD. And we're sure, like, as you say, when you go through menopause and then you're no longer menstruating, just that liberation, that freedom of not having to think about it or adjust or change or resent it or accept it. But then it's funny, on the flip side, we had one of our guests, Kath Kovac, who interestingly, it wasn't until her late 40s that she understood her cycle and understood, you know, what it's all about and the different phases. And then when she went through menopause, she went through a process of grieving, because she said, I just had all this information at my fingertips and I didn't know it. And now I've gone through menopause and that's it. I don't have that opportunity. So there's just such a plethora of emotions that everybody feels on different scales. One thing I was curious to ask you was, as you had to come into your surgery and obviously the actual surgery and the world around you that was happening, did you have a level of resentment or acceptance that this is what it is? And have you been able to find like a sense of gratitude to your experience, or do you also feel that you wish you'd had a natural menopause experience? What is there feelings that have come up for you over the years?
Yeah, there was definitely layers of grief, but I think that was wrapped around a life that I could no longer live. If I met somebody else and I'd wanted to have children, I couldn't offer that to them. And then it was just around not being able to have a lot of people that understood what I was going through, so that I felt a little bit in that kind of regard. But it's just, if I look back to when I had the operation, I just had such an amazing support network from the school mums. And also a lovely friend from a course that I was doing who brought me home and looked after me. And the children, I think it was quite upsetting for them having me go through that while also the world was kind of rumbling around them. So that was a massive, I just didn't have enough time to think about myself deeper than that, I think, in that regard. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I love this conversation and absolutely appreciate you sharing and being so open around your experience, because I think there's so many layers there, isn't there, in just your experience at the time. It's amazing.
It does go to show how important that connection and community is around what you've gone through. And whilst it doesn't sound like you had a huge community around you, the people that you did have were connected and obviously helped you get through it. So, you know, it's that quality over quantity almost, isn't it? You know, and having that support, and how wonderful that they were able to reach out and give you that support as well, especially since they're probably not, you know, they weren't going through it themselves, but they were still able to support you. Yeah, that's really beautiful.
I think definitely, because those relationships are still strong today. I think you don't go through experiences like that and not, I don't know, the bond is just different. Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Tina, we ask all of our guests this final question. So our podcast is all about power and finding, nurturing, and using our personal power as we transition through life phases, in this case, perimenopause and beyond. We'd love to know from you, and you have given us a little bit of a sneak peek, what does coming into your own power mean to you?
It's been reclaiming my voice and being a voice for others who perhaps for a number of different reasons can't have that voice for themselves. So I feel like it's enabled me to go back into the corporate world, because when COVID hit, the business that I had at the moment just disappeared overnight. So I had to reinvent myself, go back into a completely new role, train myself in how to do that role remotely from a different country. So it's that I couldn't have done that without the power that had grown within me through those years.
Yeah, so beautiful, and just resonates beautifully what we hear from others as well, that just finding your voice, coming into who you are and just going forward. Yeah, it's amazing. Lise, did you want to say something?
I really love that response too, Tina. You know, there's a lot around the perimenopausal and beyond women around, you know, coming into this phase of life. And we know there's a large proportion of women leaving or possibly wanting to go further but feel like they can, or they might want to leave the workforce and do their own thing. And what you've shown is that there is a real, you know, there's nothing stopping you from reinventing yourself or doing another role, creating a business, leaving what it is that you're doing and following your heart and your passion. And I really love that you obviously it's a lot of work involved, but you've done it and you're living proof that women can do this and they don't actually have to, you know, leave a job they love or not accept a role that they've been pining for a number of years, and it's come in at a time where it coincides with menopause. It's just that, you know, stay true to who you are and actually go forth and you know, reclaim it and get it done and accept what it is that you really want to do.
I'd love to see the corporate world understand this better. I tried to have a conversation with an old CEO a couple of years ago, and he was just like, oh, it's codswallop. You know, women should just be able to do this and do that. And I was like, did you ever birth a baby? Did you ever this? Did you? And I just feel that they can't understand the hormonal journey that women experience in this life and the impact that it has.
No, and it's been hard because we haven't ourselves as women. We haven't had the education or understood the what and the why, and it's very hard for men to understand it when we don't understand it either, but you are spot on. We are with you all the way, that we just want to see this in the workplace as well, and again, women being seen for who they are and where they are in their life. And none of it is a disadvantage or a barrier to being able to do their job and show up as they want to and serve the people that they want to serve through their work. We just have to have that understanding, the what and the why, and just embrace it. It's simple, right?
Be light with ourselves.
Tina, thank you so much for joining us. I'm really glad we had the conversation. It's been really lovely to hear your story, and I think there's a lot of positives I've certainly got out of it personally today. And like I said earlier, we tend to focus on the negative side of it, but you've really brought that to the forefront. So thank you so much for your time.
I've really enjoyed it. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to Perimenopause Power. If you found today's episode empowering, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Your journey through perimenopause just got a whole lot brighter.
And of course, we'd love to hear your thoughts, so leave us a review. Your feedback helps us empower even more women on this transformative journey. Until next time, keep embracing your perimenopause power.